Let me do a little bit of review. Last week we talked about tackling trouble, right? You guys were here for that. Anybody memorize their scripture? Working on your homework, memorizing your scripture. And we had some TCIs before that that were online. And hopefully you've had a chance to watch those. And if you haven't and computer access is a problem, make an appointment, come up here, see me at the church, and we'll get you hooked up, let you watch it on one of the computers here. That way you haven't missed out on anything. Everything's available on the website. So make sure that you do get caught up. This is important. All right. Let me pray for you and we'll get into our session for tonight. Father, we thank you for this trust challenge and these trust challenge intensives where we're able to focus intently on what you have for us and what you have in store for us tonight and both now and in the future. Father, I pray for our sermon tonight, our message time, that it would be words from heaven, that we would be encouraged, inspired, and empowered tonight by your word. Father, I pray for our discussion groups, that we would be open and honest with one another, that we would encourage each other and build each other up, that there would be Proverbs 17 taking place, iron sharpening iron. And we thank you that we would just build each other up in these groups, and not just tonight, but again in the future. And as we go throughout this week, we thank you that you are with us, you are for us, you are in us, and that you're teaching us. The great teacher, the wonderful teacher, the Holy Spirit, is working in us tonight so that we can not only just learn, but that we can retain and apply the things that we learn tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
All righty. Good to see everybody tonight. Now, is there anybody in here tonight that wants to walk in a continual flow of God's blessings? Well, in order to do that, we need to understand the principle of first things first. Everybody say first things first. First things first. The first thing given is never lost. The first thing not given is always lost. Matthew 16:25 says this, "Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And see, this is opposite of the world and the way they do things. How does that make sense that if you save something, you'll lose it? You let it go and you'll gain. That's just the opposite of the world's way of doing things. Well, the first things belong to God. And we're giving the first part to God and trusting Him to redeem or bless, praise God, or bless or add to the rest. And it always requires faith to give the first part. Because you don't have in your hand what you need. You don't have all your needs met. And so every time you bring the first part, you're always stepping out in faith. It's always an act of faith. And Christians, many Christians have a hard time with tithes and offerings. I wish it worked this way, that we could start doing these things when we get the first $1 million. You know, if I can give a large amount, then I'll be able to give. But God always works in a progressive manner, and He starts with the small things. So you have to start this where you're at. And when you put God first in your finances, you're trusting Him to take care of the rest of the things in your life. And so the first portion is always the redemptive portion. Now let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. It says this, "Honor the Lord with your possessions." And that's what we're doing when we're bringing the first part. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. It doesn't say second fruit, third fruit, tenth fruit. The first fruits of all your increase. So your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I like what it says in the Message translation in verse 9. Honor God with everything you own. Honor Him. I mean, you value Him. You praise Him. You lift Him up with everything that you own. Give Him the first and the best. And that's what we're really talking about. We're talking about, and did God give us second best? Did He give His very best? When He gave us Jesus, He gave His best. And so that's what we're talking about here. Giving Him the first and the best. In the Old Testament, they were primarily farmers, and so they talk about first fruits, but we don't live in a farming, area. So we're talking about our income. income from different sources, income from our jobs. And the Bible word for the first part is tithe. And tithe means the tenth part, or a tenth. Let's look at Malachi chapter 3. Malachi 3 verse 8 says, "Do not rob God. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, there may be food in my house. Try me now in this." And I love this. This is the trust challenge. "Try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing, there will not be room enough to receive it." So he's challenging us. And this is the only time I really see in the Bible where he makes this guarantee or a promise like this. Trust me. Step out and trust me. And isn't that what we're doing here in the trust challenge? Looking to him. Maybe letting go of some old thinking or some old way of doing things. Some things that we've been hanging on to and because we're afraid, of just trusting in him, just looking to him. I mean, he is so good. He can take care of us. And he's got a way. He's got a system. And we need to get in his system. It says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness." What does that mean? It Amplified says, "and his way of doing things." He's got a way of doing things. And a lot of it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And so we have to look to him, we look to the word, and then we trust in him, and then we act on what we believe and watch as God comes through. And he comes through every time. And, I've been walking with him for 30 years. Every situation, every single situation that I've trusted in him, he's come through. And that's just the way he is. And the problem has been on my end. It's not been ever been a problem on his end. It's been a problem on my end. So, and we used to hear a lot of condemnation about robbing God. Well, you're robbing God. Well, does he need it? He doesn't need it. I mean, he's doing fine. But what we're robbing him of, hallelujah, what we're robbing him of is his desire to bless us. That's what we're robbing him of, his desire. He's got an intense desire to bless us. And then we're robbing him of the benefit to the kingdom. With any church or ministry, from many ministries, and it's certainly one here, I mean, resources, we don't lack vision. It's the resources end. And so we're robbing God of souls, we're robbing God of disciples, and then an opportunity for him to bless us. And I don't want to do that. He is pouring out a blessing we don't have room enough to contain. And the first part belongs to him. And this is just something that I've observed, something that I grew up with. Tithers are continually blessed. Over a short period, long period of time, tithers are continually blessed. Non-tithers, and I'm not, I don't make a judgment of anybody here, but non-tithers have a lot of drama. A lot of drama in their finances. And it's just up and down. Just constantly things going on. And so I understand that. I grew up in a household where my parents argued, and I know no one here has ever argued about finances. Never had that at your household. But, in the one I grew up in, and they argued seriously, and you could hear them in the next room, and they were going at it. And about, and I was just a sensitive young guy. I mean, I thought that's it. These guys are done. But in the late 70s, they, and I don't even know how they got a hold of the teaching, they started hearing about tithing. I think there was a seminar in the Catholic Church at one of the churches, and they decided to go to it. They were so desperate. Have you ever been so desperate? It's like you'll try anything, Some kind of seminar is coming along. Oh, let's just try it. I mean, we've tried everything else. So they went and they heard about tithing and they'd never heard about it before. And so they said, okay, well, we've done all these other things and tried all these other things and nothing's worked. We're going to try this. And then they did. And it's been amazing what's happened over the years. And, you know, the blessings of God. I got a lot of testimonies. I don't have time to share them tonight. But then I was thinking today as I was kind of meditating on this. None of my brothers and sisters at the time they started tithing were saved. And within a few years, all of us were saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And see, it's more than just money. It's more than 10%. It's a heart towards God and a heart to things of God. But the thing is money is such a powerful force in this world. I mean, you know, the love of money is what? Root of all evil, the love of money. And, you know, we live in that kind of society where money is everything. And so for us to say, hey, we're gonna go outside of the norm. We're gonna do something different. We're gonna act on the word. We're gonna trust God. And when you do that, it's just a lot of things start happening. And it starts affecting other areas. I mean, I told you this story before. We're walking to church. We live two blocks from our church. Wasn't that? It's kind of like Nate. And Nate's walking along to church one day. My dad's walking along to church. And he looks down and sees this shiny stone in the sidewalk. It's a 2-carat diamond. And, you know, at any time, anything. And I just have supernatural thing after supernatural thing like that. I mean, it was in the financial area. It was in healing. It was in other different areas. I mean, just so many adventures and things that happened in our family. And I can look back and pinpoint that the time when my parents started to tithe. So the first thing, principle, goes back to Genesis. Let's look at Genesis 4. Genesis 4, verse 3. Says this, in the process of time, and you know, this is before the law. This is before, you know, all of that. Process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock. Meaning he gave his best. Firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel in his offering, but he did not respect Cain in his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. And then we know what that led to. Led to murder. The first murder had to do with giving the first and giving the best. So there you go. But what God's looking at is he's looking at the heart. And so we don't have to get wrapped up all in, you know, someone gives me a pencil and I need to calculate the value of that pencil and find the price and tithe on that. You know, that's what the Pharisees were doing. That's not what I'm talking about here. But as we have our tithe, we're talking about our heart. It's a representation of our best. It's the first part. Before we, you know, give money to the government and the light bills and all these different things, because I don't trust in any of those things. No, I mean, they're not looking out for me. They don't have a bunch of promises for me. And so I'm giving my best, my first part, to him and looking to him as my source of supply. I'm saying to him, God, you're my source. You're my source of supply. You supply all of my needs. And just like you gave your best, I'm giving my best. And so God's looking at our heart. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. Says this, I'm reading Amplified Version. Let each one give as he has made up his own mind and purpose in his heart, not reluctantly or sorrowfully or under compulsion. That's not what we're talking about here. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose what? Whose heart is in his giving. And we say about tithing, it's not a debt you owe, it's a seed you sow. It's not about religious rules and regulations. It's about the heart. It's about giving your best. Let's look over in Romans chapter 11. And this is just talking about the redemptive part of the first part here. Romans chapter 11, verse 16, New Living Translation says this. And since Abraham and the other patriarchs were holy, their descendants will also be holy. Just as the entire batch of dough, that's good, dough, there you go, is holy because the portion given as an offering is holy. So the offering made the whole batch holy. For if the roots of the tree are holy, the branches will be too. The tithe is the catalyst for the blessing over the 90% of your income. The first part, the tenth, carries with it the blessing. And while you're giving with an expectation, and that's, we should be just some of the most expectant people. We should be expecting to be walking around and see a diamond on the ground. We should be expecting things at work. We should be expecting the unexpected. We just had a situation happen, and probably tell the whole testimony later, but a person that we know, a friend of Eddie and Carol's, was in Atlanta praying and seeking God, and he was in some financial difficulties and having some troubles, and he's just been really seeking God and reaching out to God. And the Lord spoke to him that he needed to come to Augusta and bring a check to Eddie for Good News Church. That just happened. What day was that, Eddie? Saturday? Friday? Friday. I mean, I couldn't plan that. God's dealing with somebody in Atlanta. And I know that seed that he's sowing, what he's giving, I mean, God's going to take care of him, praying for him. But it just shows you, I mean, the whole thing, God's got a million ways. And we can kind of get our head down. And this is not the posture for receiving from open heaven. You're so depressed. The circumstances of life. Can I get some spray bottle, Nate? And some. I love that last week. I said, Lord, give me some kind of illustration. He didn't. So didn't need it, I guess. But you're just so beat down. And already I've been getting testimonies during the Trust Challenge. And this is where it gets kind of really cool and kind of scary, is some people are telling me they're writing the biggest tithe check they've ever written. And one person, I asked him, I said, were you scared? And he said, no, I just have a peace. And then it gets exciting when your tithe check is more than what you used to make in a month. It's like, oof. Well, I mean, I'll just say this to you. I mean, I believe that could happen here. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a bunch of years. It's happened to me. It could happen to you. It will happen to you. I'm believing for it to happen to you. But you have to start. And it involves the little things. Faithful in little, he'll make you ruler of much. And it is a risk. And it is a challenge, and it is difficult to step out, but we've got a whole lot of testimonies. We've got the Word of God. And so I just want to encourage you, don't be afraid. Step out and start and watch as the windows of heaven are open, pouring out a blessing you don't have room enough to contain. But I'm just saying, to have that expectation, we here at Good News Church should be expecting God to do things in a million ways. We should wake up every day, even on our worst day, with an expectation. Like Oral Roberts, we used to say, something good's going to happen to me today. And expectation has everything to do with results. See, I know God. I trust him. And for me, the tithe is just the start. There's the tithe, there's the offering, and then there's the third level. Three levels of giving. The tithe, which is the tenth. Next level is the offering. And then the third level, which is really fun, extravagant giving. That's over and above the over and above. And talk about stepping out, walking on the water. You know, you're putting that offering in there and you're kind of shaking a little bit. But it's fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of joy. And what we are is we're about kingdom business. I'm partnering with him. I mean, if the tithe was 20%, it's not. I'd start there. If it was 30, I'd do that. I mean, whatever he says. I don't even know all the reasons why he picked the 10%. It doesn't really matter. Whatever he says, I'm going to do it. Now, there's our side and there's God's side. Our side is, I'm bringing my tithe not to a man. I'm not giving my tithe to a man. I'm giving my tithe to Jesus. Just like Abraham gave his tithe to Melchizedek, the high priest. Same thing, that I bring my tithe to Jesus. And so naturally I'm putting it in the bucket, but spiritually I'm giving it to Jesus. Tithing is not about keeping the rules. It's not about checking them off the rules. It's about the heart. Tithing is about recognizing that 100% of what we have, what I'm saying to God is 100% of what I have is yours. Everything I have comes from you. And we say this all the time, all that I have is yours, all you have is mine. We just work together. It's all his. Tithing keeps us humble. Because you realize that any increase that happens in your life has nothing to do with you and your greatness and your great abilities and your great financial abilities. It comes from him. We can give confidently knowing there's much more coming our way. You ever given your last dollar? Now, I haven't done it since I've been married, but I mean, I was out there giving wise back in my early days. I mean, I would regularly just give it all. And he never let me down. But just confidence. Oh, there's more where that came from. I'm not losing, I'm gaining. Every time I sow a seed, I'm not losing, I'm gaining. Tithing is gratefulness. This is the way my parents looked at it. They looked at tithing as worship. It's gratefulness to God for his goodness and his kindness. And it's no, coincidence that we have the offering mixed in with praise and worship. It's just giving praise. We're bringing him an offering, bringing our best. And then one of the big parts for me with tithing and with giving is I want to see this great commission come to pass. I want to do all that I can to see people saved and to see disciples raised up. You know, my wife and I, Susie, you know, we started this church with $5,000. And I think about that $5,000, and the plan was to build a house. Like you guys, you know about that. And we had our plans and all our different things. And I think about that seed all the time and sowing that into the church. And, you know, would I do it again? Absolutely. I would do $10,000 at that time. I would have did $100,000. I mean, I look around and I see the people here tonight. I mean, you're worth it. You're worth any kind of seed sown. And all of us, it's the same thing. I mean, you know, we're not given for a building. We're not given for lights. We're given for changed lives. It's about his plan. I want to see the Great Commission fulfilled in my lifetime. Now, God's side, the greater blesses the lesser. His word spoken over shall come to pass. He gives his life to your 90%, the redemptive part to it, the blessing of the 90%. Your stuff lasts longer. And so you can give it away. You can use it and take it, supernaturally blessed, until it's time to pass it on to somebody else. He works out great deals. Don't you love getting a great deal? I mean, he's got all, things work out in your favor. Everybody say this. Things work out in my favor. It'll teach us how to handle money so it won't ruin us. He pours out. What's he pouring out of heaven? He's pouring out wisdom, ideas, revelations. He's pouring out favor over generous preferential treatment. Go ahead and just shout anytime now. He's pouring out opportunities. You're going to have so many opportunities, you're going to have to pray in tongues in order to figure out which one to take. Let's see. Good, better, and best. He's pouring out the power to get wealth. In each one of us is a power and a force to have resources come into our hands. Every one of us. And nobody can take the blessing of God from us. The devil can't steal the blessing of God that's on us. The only way we'll lose it is if we stop believing. Don't stop believing. Oh, brother. I'm telling you tonight, and I'm wrapping it up, he's got surprises for you. You like surprises? Good surprises? He's got surprises for you. He's got raises, promotions. In here, Sean, what's that confession of yours? Where is that confession? Come on up here. Let's read that again. This is good. Can you read that?
Yeah. A prosperous soul. Through the blood of Jesus, I have a prosperous soul. Everything I put my hands to prospers. I bear fruit in due season, and my leaf does not wither. My accounts grow at a rapid and accelerated rate. My debts are paid in full, erased, deleted, canceled, forgiven, and forgotten. Miraculous, abundant provision comes to me in the form of cash, checks, rebates, refunds, settlements, gifts, write-offs, scholarships, opportunities, pay raises, interest, dividends, tickets, material goods, property, and discounts in a million more ways. I give, this is the part I added recently, I give and it is given to me in a generous amount, so much that it is falling out of the package. People are compelled to give to me. The wealth of the world is set aside with specific purpose of being placed in my hands.
Amen.
That beats what I have written here. I'm just going to say to you, and you know, we're talking about being led by the Spirit. Just follow Him. Go to His Word. Be obedient to His Word. And then follow the Holy Spirit and then trust Him. And if the amount ever gets so large, give me a call. And we can talk about it and pray about it. You know, but just trust Him. He's got your best interest at heart. And He's got big plans for every one of us. Big plans for every one of us. Amen.
Wasn't that encouraging? I think so many times we can get into just a ritualistic habit with tithing. I know many of us are tithers here, and you think that's just old hat, you know, 10%, blah, blah, blah. But we can get in such a habit where we don't apply our faith when it comes to tithing. It just becomes a ritual or just something we do every time money comes in our hands. And we should be applying faith every time we drop our 10% in the bucket, whether it's a dime or $1,000 or $4,000 or $10,000. We should be applying faith with the dime just as much as we should be applying faith with the big deal, because it's no difference. That's exactly right. And so we want to give you an opportunity to give tonight. We thought there could be no greater response to a message about tithing, first things first, than to give you an opportunity to give. And maybe you've already given your 10%, and maybe God's asking you to give a little more. Again, we're not We're not the church that holds you upside down by your pants and shakes the money out of you. We don't do that. We just give you an opportunity to listen to God, listen to the Holy Spirit, and allow Him to move on your heart. And trust Him. Trust Him in your giving tonight. Just logistically, if you need a offering envelope for cash giving, you can raise your hand, or for check or debit. And Eddie's got those, and James is going to help pass those out for us. And you can also write a check, of course. You guys know the drill. And once they pass those, I want to pray for us. I believe there are opportunities here. Opportunities for increase. And we know, and we'll hear in our discussion later, that so many times those opportunities begin with us taking a step in response to what God's done on our behalf. And so let's respond tonight in faith and trust. Let me pray for you, and then we'll get Harry to put on some kind of music as we prepare our gifts tonight. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is truth. Your word is life. Your word is light. And we thank you that you lead us and guide us by your Spirit as we endeavor to hear from heaven tonight concerning our giving. For many of us, we're already a tither, so 10% is the deal. But Father, may we not let it become such a ritual or religious habit that we forget to apply faith when we give. And so Father, right now we endeavor to hook up in faith with you and your word and your promise that says we can trust you. That you issued the challenge and said, test me in this, try me. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. And so, Father, we trust that the windows of heaven are open over us and our families. We trust that we have prosperous souls, that we are prosperous people, and things and resources come into our hands. More and more and more wisdom, favor, opportunities, the power to create wealth, all of those things coming into the hands of the people of Good News Church. And we thank you that as we give in faith tonight, that it's given back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to give, and we call the people of Good News Church blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise God. I just feel like God's got some breakthroughs for us, for this church, and entering into a new place and a new level, new phase. And it's about the vision, the mission. It's about changed lives. So we thank you for this offering tonight, Father. We just give you worship and give you praise from our hearts, Lord. We magnify you. We're so grateful tonight for your Son, Jesus, and how you look out for us and your provision and your care. So many wonderful things you've done in our lives, but we know that the best is yet to come. You've got amazing things for each person here, for this church, for our families, people that we know. Just greater ways, opportunities for us to be a blessing. Lord, that's our desire, to be a greater blessing in this world, to make an impact and make a difference for Jesus Christ. So we bring this to our high priest, Jesus. Take it. And I don't know how you do it, Jesus, but you bless it. And you multiply it back to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Give us wisdom, Father, to manage the increase that comes into our hands, that we will be even a greater blessing for your kingdom. Be even more generous. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
While we were just praying there, I'm going to tell you about the group changes, but while we were just praying there, I just heard inside me, I just kept hearing this word, maximize. Maximize. The Lord said to me, he's going to maximize what is in our hands. We always look at what we don't have, and if only we had more, don't you? Don't you think if I just had more? The Lord just said to me to tell you, he's going to maximize what is in your hand and give you more. Thank you for that, Father. Thank you that you're going to maximize what is in our hands and you're going to give us more. Hallelujah. Thank you for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm going to tell you the group changes here in just a moment, but before I do, I do want to reiterate, I haven't been doing any of these sessions. I'm not planning to do any. But I want to tell you that God's doing some things, and there's, if you haven't picked up on it yet, or maybe it hasn't happened in your life the way you thought it would, there is definitely a below the surface current that is happening. And some people, it's popped up to the surface and you see it plainly for some of you. But I'm just telling you, don't be discouraged in the least. Maybe it hasn't been what you thought or which one, but there's so much happening right just below the surface. And we, you know, it's like you, do you ever just, when you go to the beach, I always think this, I always look out in the ocean, I think there's all this stuff going out there in the ocean going on, and I don't see it because all I see is the surface. But there's huge fish and there's all this stuff happening under the water and I don't see it. And it's the same way spiritually. There's a whole lot of stuff happening, but we, all we see is the surface. And unless one of those fish pop up, you know, like the porpoises do, or every now and then you'll maybe see a fish jump, but unless they do, you don't see it. And just be aware that the spirit realm where God works, you don't always see what's going on. You don't always see God's work. But just like the guy that brought the check to Eddie on Friday, who would have dreamed? If you knew the backstory for that, it's crazy. But when Eddie told us what happened and brought the check, I knew immediately that was really God's work in that man's life. It sure did it bless the church, absolutely. But the greatest blessing is what God's doing in that man's life. But all that's been going on behind the scenes, under the surface, and there's a whole lot more stuff going on under the surface than what you see. There's a mighty current flowing there. There are great things happening. There are. You can believe it or not. I'm believing it because it's the truth. There are great things going on below the surface. Hallelujah. And all in due season, it'll come up. Praise God. Let's just thank the Lord again. Hallelujah. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you for all you're doing. We can't thank you in our English words for everything because we don't know everything. But this one thing we are confident of, that the God in whom we've placed our trust is a God who honors his word. He's a God who's good for his word. You are a God who is actually more than enough. You are a God who does all those things that Matt just talked about that you do in the lives of tithers. And you're a God, Father, who does just what Sean said, that is causing the wicked to lay up for those that have been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. Us. And we thank you that that's the truth. Hallelujah. Amen.